Welcome to another Rebel Room post-game edition. UNLV basketball, Ryan Green, Ray Brewer, Las Vegas Sun, 78-63. Guess who won? Not UNLV, Colorado State, in a bit of an upset, even though, Ryan, you've said Colorado State is much improved all year, and I've even said it myself, but I don't think going into the game, UNLV losing by 15 on its home court was a likely scenario. They were favored by 12 at least.
Yeah, and it got up to as many as 13 before tip-off. And no, this was not expected at all. And not only that, you know, UNLV was, as I put in my story, out-hustled, out-muscled, and out-played right from go. Colorado State looked the part of the hungrier team. UNLV never had a lead. I would have to assume that that's the first time this season that that's been the case. And the Rebels got what their effort paid for. They came close in the second half a couple times, but you know, for much of the night, I thought looked the part of a team that was really just kind of expecting Colorado State to go away and let them back in through the door. And UNLV had to force its way through, never did. And this is what you get. UNLV's now 14-5 overall, 2-3 in the league, and the red lights are flashing.
Red lights are flashing big time. I think they're 3-5 in their last 8 games, and I think tonight was a classic case of on paper, UNLV apparently was better than Colorado State, so they thought they could just show up, win the game. You hit it on the nail, dude. They were uninspired. They played with absolutely no energy. I think the arena, which is rare for a UNLV home game, maybe twice was excited after the Marshall reverse.
Pretty bad crowd, yeah.
Yeah, after the Marshall reverse dunk in the first half, which was sweet, and Marshall is, I think, their best player right now.
Yeah.
And then when Marshall hit the three in the second half, I think it might have tied the game. I don't know if people were excited because that stupid three-pointer streak continued or because it tied the game, but nonetheless, a few highlights tonight for UNLV, and you're right, panic button's been hit. Red lights are flashing. I guess my big question to you and what everybody out there wants to know is, can this be fixed? And if so, how?
Well, you know, first off, you mentioned the talent discrepancy, which is definitely there. But, you know, Colorado State, while they do have a little talent, they played with just, you know, you talk about their big guys, Travis Franklin, Andy Ogade. I mean, they played with intense motors. And they never slowed down. They combined for 42 points and 16 rebounds. And Travis Franklin, what a feel-good story. This is a kid who was crying on the bench after falling out of the 80-72 loss to UNLV in Fort Collins last year because he was 3 of 14 from the free throw line and just frustrated. He had 24 points on 9 of 16 shooting, was 6 of 9 at the line, had 24 points and, like I said, 8 rebounds. But you know what, UNLV, just the little things, it's funny because it is just little things that's holding this team back. But really at this point in the season, you wonder if it even can turn around because it's been addressed so many times now. There's so many losses where we're talking about little things. You see Santa Barbara talking about little things. They're all running together right now. But it seems like after every loss, you're talking about little things and what is UNLV going to do differently? And the thing is, you know, despite all these losses, they haven't changed anything up, really. You know, they don't ratchet up the intensity in practice in terms of, you know, when you play terrible, you don't get punished. You know, the practice tomorrow will probably look just like the practice did yesterday. And I don't know if that's a way to fix it, but, you know, the staff's got to try something at this point because this team right now is in limbo, and you don't want this to head down the wrong path.
I think the word confidence really comes into play here. Colorado State tonight came in confident. They started strong, and they were confident from start to finish.
Yeah.
UNLV doesn't have confidence right now, and their players, especially, I guess, the big three, Standback, Jasper, Willis. Willis didn't play with the knee. Jasper and Standback. Standback had a decent game, led him with 16. Jasper's been MIA since league's play started. In fact, in the second half, Kruger skipped over him and put Crom in the game. And the question is, I guess, are they going to be able to get the confidence back? I mean, or is it lost for the year?
Well,
are we talking NIT?
It's one of those things where you really need to just go lay the smack on someone to get the confidence back, but are they capable of doing it at this point? Because those performances don't just come out of nowhere. And, you know, you mentioned those three dreaded letters, NIT. I guarantee you there were a lot of people in the building thinking that as this all unfolded, because look, they've already got three losses in conference. And, you know, typically, I think in the last couple of years, they've had, what, four or five? I mean, there's not a lot of room for error left. There was already just very little coming into this game. Now there's even less.
And two of those losses at home, tough to win on the road in this league.
Yeah, you get, you know, look, 2 years ago, they went 9-7 in the league, and that didn't get them in the NCAA tournament, despite an impressive non-conference resume. They can't afford it. And, you know, now Saturday's game gets even bigger because you got New Mexico coming to town. Who would have thought? UNLV would be 2-3 and New Mexico 1-3 in the league coming into their first meeting.
But both teams, a four-bid league, the Mountain West last year, a lot of folks think it'd be a four-bid league again. Now New Mexico, UNLV, it's kind of like an elimination game more or less, where the loser is in such a hole that I don't know if they get out of it. Mm-hmm.
And now it might be a three-bid league. And Colorado State has the inside track to the third bid. What a world.
Yeah, and it's such a great league right now. San Diego State, BYU, top 10. Looking forward to that game coming up here in a few days. And it's just, you really thought UNLV was going to factor into it. And even though they lost to BYU, they looked so great against TCU two Saturdays mm-hmm. ago. You thought, okay, everything's back on track. Here you go. Even though they struggled a little bit at Air Force last Saturday, they played a great, I think, final 8 minutes or so to win the game. The San Diego State game, not the end of the world. They couldn't hit the backside of a barn, and they barely lost. But here we are tonight, losing on your home court by 15 points in a game you were supposed to win. And, I mean, the wheels are coming off, and it's a runaway train. Get out of the way.
Yeah, it's inconsistency, because you mentioned, look at the performances in Mountain West play so far. You know, San Diego State, play well, can't hit shots, don't win. Air Force, play well for a half, come back, win on a 19-2 run. BYU, just pretty much get your doors blown off after the first 8 minutes.
But you were up 10 in that game.
Exactly, yeah. But all five performances have been so different in Mountain West play, and that's what you got to look at, and that's alarming, because you've got 11 more games left. You don't know what you're going to get every given night. There, you know, Lon Kruger preaches consistency with everything, and this is far from anywhere near consistent. That's alarming.
That's alarming. You know, there are some bright points. Anthony Marshall, I think, has become, you tweeted it, maybe one of the league's top players. Mm-hmm. And he continues to impress. And I think, you know, moving forward, he played 33 minutes tonight. He's clearly the aggressor on the court. I think he needs to play 33 minutes every night.
I agree.
And I know when Willis comes back, that kind of cuts into Marshall's minutes, but I think Willis has got to be the secondary guy now. I mean,
yeah.
He's a great player. First team All-League, was great last year. Money from the line down the stretch, but he's been banged up with his knee. You know, maybe his attitude hasn't been the best.
Well, the thing with Willis is that he gives you an intangible that – the rest of these guys lack to give consistently, and that's toughness. He's their toughest guy. He's the guy who's going to get in an opponent's face, jaw at him, and get in their head. And when Willis isn't there, yeah, Willis as a player, kind of a shell of himself from a year ago, but you need that dimension. You need that intangible. And I know maybe playing him 30 minutes a game isn't enough, but you got to be playing him at least 20. And you, like I said, you got to have that intangible. You have to.
Yeah, agreed. I think the thing with this team is, you know, the inconsistency is I'm having a hard time kind of breaking down what's going wrong. I know they're playing bad, and I know that, you know, we talk every week about, you know, bad shooting, you know, maybe not getting enough from the inside guys, but, you know, something just isn't clicking with this team, and, you know, maybe a lot of it has to do with some of that, the desire or the energy. And, you know, and we saw today a Colorado State team that doesn't have the talent UNLV does, but it had that intangible of maybe wanting it a little more.
Mm-hmm. And UNLV's got to find it from somewhere. And honestly, at this point, I don't know what the odds are that they're going to find it, because it's been missing for so long. You know, they were at the beginning of the year, they were playing so hungry and I think eager to prove something to so many people. And now it's just I don't know where it's gone, and I don't know where it's going to come from.
Yeah, and who's going to be the leader? Who's going to put the team on its back? Is it a vocal leader? Is it an in-game leader? And I think right now some of the seniors on the team that you thought were going to be that, you know, solid presence haven't delivered.
Yeah.
Bottom line.
Bottom line. And you know what? Look, I thought UNLV was going to lose to Colorado State at some point this year, but I thought it was going to be in Fort Collins because that's a game they sleepwalk through every year. Colorado State's better. They're hungry to beat some of these top teams in the league. You know, Colorado State, that was their big thing. They took a big step last year in finishing fifth in the league. The next step was to actually get some wins over the top teams in the league. They were 0-8 combining against the top four last year. Now, how much harder does that return trip get? I mean, I can't even imagine.
It's got to be. I mean, the elevation of playing.
And Moby Arena is going to be pumped for it.
Yeah.
Let's just call it like it is.
I don't want to change the subject, but you're a Bears fan, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm a Steelers fan, right?
Mm-hmm.
How cool would that be if we had a little Super Bowl action going against each other?
It would at least give us something to look forward to, yeah, because covering these games is getting harder and harder to look forward to when they're playing like this.
Yeah, I agree with you. Real fast, quick preview of the New Mexico game. You're real familiar with the league. New Mexico, are they as bad as their record indicates? What's going wrong there?
Talent-wise, no, but they've got a lot going on. They lost Roman Martinez after last year, and he brought that leadership intangible, and losing him was big. Darius Gary, who I voted last year as the Mountain West Player of the Year, is playing some of the most inconsistent ball of any of the top players in the Mountain West right now. He's really struggling with the turnovers. He's struggling to score consistently, and I think there's some chemistry issues, and a lot of it's just because there's so many new faces there this year. They brought in so many new guys who are trying to fit in with a lot of guys who are back from that team that was a 3 seed in the tournament a year ago. Just kind of a lot going on, and they've played a tough schedule. They've played a lot of road games. Just a very tough scenario for them right now, and I haven't seen them up close yet. It's hard to tell who's in worse shape right now between them and UNLV.
Well, somebody's going to get healthy on Saturday, but bottom line, and I guess it's always – Steve Alford loves to complain about, you know, the league tournament being in Las Vegas, and UNLV fans love when New Mexico comes to town to let them hear it. So that always adds a little excitement to the day. A 1 o'clock game, which I guess is a good thing. On Saturday.
And whoever doesn't get healthy,
woo,
really in a hole.
Really, really in a hole.
A loss would hurt New Mexico a lot more than it would hurt UNLV, but it would also hurt UNLV a ton because, again, giving up another home game.
I mean, they'd be halfway through their home slate at 1-3
yep.
in league and looking bad.
You mean 2-4? Or through in at
league,
home.
Yeah.
You're right. Not good.
Not good. Well, folks,
that's the term for tonight. Not good.
Not good. Uninspired. Need some help. Anything along those lines pretty much summarizes the day. And I mean, they were 11-0, man.
Mm-hmm.
Who would have thought? From 11-0 to 14-5.
Woo! Lech.
For Ryan Green, I'm Ray Brewer. We're inspired still.
Sort of.
Give us a little something against New Mexico. We'll talk to y'all Saturday.